Hello. This story is the only remaining record of our existence, and the events which led us into obscurity. Everything else has been scrubbed from time.
Makeshift Stories 119, Series Chapter 5, Moves and Counter Moves.
Janva secretly observed from beyond the edge of her host's consciousness. It was a crazy idea launching a being into space from a steam-powered medieval machine, but it had worked. The aim had been surprisingly accurate. The crude carbon fiber cable hadn't snapped, and they, along with a grappled probe, were being winched back to the surface. Had the idea been the host's, or had he subconsciously accessed her thought processes? Like some form of organic parallel computing. It seemed too creative a solution for a Triffle. So she feared the latter, and that implied she was losing the battle to remain independently sentient. The little craft drew her attention away from that dark thought. It was interesting. Despite being a crudely built machine, even by Triffle standards, it appeared to contain very useful technologies, which suggested a possibility that excited her. The civilization that had made it, the one on the third planet, wasn't known to her people when they chose the dwarf world to banish the Triffle. Had they known, the problematic Triffle would have never been relocated to this system. On the surface, this was the reason why she had been sent. But given the interference she had experienced trying to integrate with Galen, she wondered if something else wasn't going on as well. She needed to be patient and wait until she knew more. But the appearance of the alien probe was an unanticipated factor and potential opportunity. Janva needed to consider how this changed things. The Technology Reclamation Lab was located on the 10th subfloor of the administrative building. The alien spy probe, that's what they had determined it was, lay disassembled in pieces on several tables scattered around the room. The high-resolution cameras convinced Amos and the technical team that espionage was its only purpose. Somehow the aliens had detected them. Amos decided that changed everything. Their plans would have to be moved up, but how? Even with this unexpected windfall, it would take them months to understand the tech the probe contained. Then add even more time to apply what they had salvaged to help them leapfrog forward in their climb back to being a spacefaring culture. Galen had been to the lab multiple times watching the disassembly, carefully examining each piece as the technicians removed it from the probe. Amos had ensured that everything Galen did in the lab was scrupulously documented and sent to him in daily reports. Nothing seemed suspicious. However, Amos continued to have doubts that the alien trapped in the COO's brain was not somehow influencing his actions. The spy satellite, Amos refused to call it anything else, had proven to be interesting. Although its ion drive was embarrassingly simple, the electronics proved to be surprisingly complex, and that was a concern. It might take the aliens on the third world years to travel between the planets in this star system, but they had the computing power to create semi-autonomous systems, which meant exploiting their world would be more of a challenge than Amos had anticipated. He was considering how the sudden appearance of the alien spying device and the transplant in short succession would change their plans when Galen interrupted him.
"I've got an idea," Galen explained. "I've been able to tap into some of the transplant's knowledge. I know what you're going to say, but I'm confident that I'm the one driving, not the illusion."
The light bulb on his headband shone a steady green as he talked. Amos pulled his attention away from the technicians who were testing the efficiency of one of the solar panels.
"How can you be sure? Would you even know if you were being manipulated?"
"I don't see how this could benefit anyone but us," Galen responded. "The transplant knows how to reconfigure the components on this probe to make a very tiny, transdimensional passage."
Amos looked at him suspiciously, eyeing the lights on the lie detector.
"You know I can't entirely trust you. Why would the transplant provide you with this type of information?"
"Because she doesn't have a choice. I have the upper hand. Either she gives me knowledge, or I cut her off from my senses, and that would leave her in a void. She's frightened by that, frightened enough to pass on information,
Galen explained confidently.
Why didn't you mention this before? Have you been letting her spy on us?
I only figured it out recently. She can communicate with me, but not her own kind, which is apparently unheard of. When I tried cutting her off from me as well, she offered to help.
Amos had serious doubts, but there were few choices. He could wait until the third planet discovered they had captured their spy satellite. They would no doubt send an armed probe to investigate, and despite their primitive technology, the Triffle had nothing to defend themselves with. He decided to let Galen proceed, but the COO would need to be closely scrutinized.
It would be a very small, limited portal, and could only be used once.
What does that mean, Galen?
We can send a transplant back into the history of the world this probe came from.
Spy satellite,
Amos corrected.
Then we'll go back and change our history, rid ourselves of the illusion.
We can't. Limited power means a limited range,
Galen pointed out.
We'd need a huge power source to do that. We only have enough to transplant a mind over a short distance in time. We can't send someone back in our timeline far enough to make any difference. However, sending one of us back to change their history has possibilities. We could advance their development so they would have the means to evacuate us from this frozen rock, and at the same time, condition them to be receptive to our domination.
Amos tapped a hind paw, thinking.
One mind. And I take it this would be a one-way transfer?
Galen nodded.
One way.
What would happen to the body of the person who transferred?
From what I'm told, the body would remain in a coma until the mind returned. For the mind, that could be years. But if we rebuilt the third planet so it could send a mission to liberate us, that mission could arrive tomorrow or next week. So for the body, it would be a minimal amount of time. But if I go, the illusion would remain in my body and I'd go through. After, you could communicate with her directly, but she'd still be trapped.
No,
Amos announced.
I'll be the one. To change a world, a leader is needed. A leader like me.
You have been listening to Ceres, a Makeshift Stories production. Ceres is released once a month between the 1st and the 7th. The story is written by Alan V. Hare and read by Mitchell Tu. Opening and closing music by David H. If you'd like to connect with us, please send an email to makeshiftstories@gmail.com or visit our website at makeshiftstories.com. You can help us out by writing a review on iTunes or Stitcher Radio or any of your favorite podcast services. Ceres and Makeshift Stories are released under a Creative Commons, non-commercial attribution, no derivative license, which means that you are free to share our stories. Just remember to credit us, and don't alter anything.
Thanks for listening, and remember to come back between the 15th and the 20th for another story in our series Somewhere, Sometime.